You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Levitar Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Stephen A. Smith did say, "I don't give a damn about this kid from Europe. If you're the Phoenix Suns, you have to take DeAndre Ayton." Play the music for Amin El-Hassan here as we open our 11 o'clock hour. I've got some questions for him.
Time to talk basketball. Amin knows basketball. He'll teach you basketball. Expert in basketball.
We will get to Stugatz's weekend observations this hour. Funniest thing from the sports weekend will be done before we get out of here. I mean, Boston, Miami, who's better?
Miami.
Why?
Thank you, Stugatz, for that follow-up.
You're welcome.
Because Dan asked me a close-ended question. Boston, Miami, who's better? I gave him the answer. Miami's better because they're deeper, and I think the coaching experience helps here. I think Ime Udoka did a great job in the first two series, but truthfully, he coached against Steve Nash, who's a neophyte as well. In the second round, he coached against Bud, who a year ago around this time, we were all saying he's going to get fired. So this is a different beast that he's dealing with in Eric Spoelstra. The Miami Heat are getting relatively healthy at just the right time. Kyle Lowry's on the mend. I think their depth, I think their experience, and I think most importantly, Eric Spoelstra's experience. Those things are all separators between the Heat and the Celtics.
Why is Boston minus 160?
Because everyone is gassed off of Tatum being amazing in the first two rounds. They obviously beat the Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's been spectacular. He's risen to, I believe, sixth all-time in number of 40-10 games in the playoffs, and he's done it in all of two postseasons last year and this year. There's a certain cachet to that, whereas the Heat, people look at them like, well, you beat the Sixers, who are a train wreck. You beat the Hawks, who probably shouldn't even have been there. I think this is all part and parcel with everyone looking at Miami and saying, yeah, they're not that good, because they play a style that isn't as star-centric and star-driven as Boston is, right? Vegas fans, even like NBA personnel, they like the comfort of seeing, I believe, oh, they gave it to him, and then he saved the day. They like that. This idea of an egalitarian offense and all that, it confuses them. So, you know, to me, I look at this series as it's the Heat series to lose. Boston is not going to be easy. They're an incredibly great defensive team, but the reality is there were a lot of missed shots Milwaukee had in those last couple of games. And if we believe Miami to be the best shooting team in the league, which they were during the regular season, then I don't know if those shots fly.
Who's better defensively, Miami or Boston?
I would say Boston. But, I mean, they've been number one pretty much, number one all year long. But if you look at from January 1st to the end of the year, they are number one by a lot from everybody else. And now Miami's a great defensive team too. But I just think Boston is, I think they've proven it to me that their ability to lock down and to have great rotations and schemes. And by the way, to do it even with Robert Williams in and out of the lineup, and he's arguably their best.
Well, this is why I was asking you the question, right? Because numerically, Boston was better the entire season, or certainly the second half of the season defensively. But that is not an insignificant thing that you just mentioned there. And so that's why I was asking the question, because absent him, are they not a different defense?
No, I mean, they've shown to be still very staunch defensively. But obviously, he takes away a very important, you know, factor to them in terms of being an eraser, right? There are some guys like Al Horford is a great defensive player. Al Horford is going to be in the right place at the right time. He's going to move. He's going to talk. He's going to help. He's going to rotate. But if something goes wrong, Al Horford does not have it in him to say, oh, I know we messed up this defense right here, but I can still save the day and erase this, erase our mistakes, and still make the defensive play. Robert Williams is that guy. Robert Williams is like, even when we don't do it right, he gives us a chance to still get the stop through his incredible length and athleticism. Not having him, obviously, for against a team as potent offensively as the Miami Heat, I think that that's going to be an issue. It's going to be problematic for them. But again, you know, he was available for Game 7. He should be available for the rest of the series.
You mentioned, though, what people get used to seeing. I mean, and you talk about the one guy or a scorer, this is where the ball is going to go. And you mentioned people aren't used to, or underestimating Miami, because even though they have Jimmy Butler, it might be more democratic than that. But does that team ever get to win? The one without the one guy that everyone knows is the one guy? Like, I know the Pistons did it, but not very often that guy gets to win.
Doesn't Miami have the one guy given the present state?
Pretty good.
Yeah,
yep,
like they do kind of have that. And this Boston matchup does allow for Jimmy to cook a little bit, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah, and I think that's exactly right. Like we say, they don't have the guy. They do have the guy, but for whatever reason, people in the media and otherwise.
Yeah, you've been telling me for years they have the guy.
Yeah, he's a superstar. Like again, the last thing that was left was a national commercial. He's the Michelob Man.
Right.
Crack open a 40 ounce, let him work. You know, like I don't know how many more times Jimmy Butler has to do it before people
eight more times this season.
Eight more times in the next couple of months, and he better not lose any of those eight.
By the way, careful what you say about Al. I care about you. And secondly, I'm wondering, how do you imagine they're going to defend Jason Tatum, the Heat? Like, who do you throw at him? Is it Strus? Is it Bam? Is it a combination? How do you imagine that goes?
I think it's exactly what you said. It's a combination. A guy like that, you can't just put one guy on him and expect good things to happen. The more they can switch it up and mix it up on him, the better off they are. I think Jimmy's definitely going to see time on him. I think Strus is going to see time. I think Bam is going to see time. I mean, maybe Caleb Martin finds his way back into the rotation, which is still kind of unclear why he fell out of the rotation. But this would appear to be a time where you need someone who's 6'7" and agile and plays tough defense. If not, maybe we see Victor Oladipo kind of get caught up and make a lot of mistakes, but somehow still win Spo's trust over everybody else. But the reality is it's not going to be one guy, and I don't think it can be one guy because of the, you know, how great Tatum is offensively. The other side of this also is they're going to make guys make shots in a way that Milwaukee, I don't think, did as well. So if you want to trot out Derek White, a.k.a. Cordon Bleu, all right, he's going to have to make some shots out there, all right? Like, if you want Peyton Pritchard to bellow out, I do this, all right? You're going to have to do this for more than just a couple of shots when you guys are up 20. And I think Miami is better equipped to kind of exploit those kind of defensive issues of guys like Derek White, Marcus Smart offensively, you know, Peyton Pritchard, whatever, make those guys make plays as opposed to, you know, kind of let themselves get burnt by Tatum and by those guys.
Derek White is a confusing player to me because his metrics when he's on the court are very, very good. But every time I see this guy on the court playing, I'm like, man, I want that guy
to
shoot so bad.
I was surprised they played him. I thought they were going to sit him in the second half yesterday. I was stunned that he was even out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, he's not a good three-point shooter. All right, let's just start there. He had a year in San Antonio where I think he shot something like 37%. But other than that year, he's kind of a low 30%. He's definitely a sub-35% three-point shooter. And sub-35% is now at the point where it's like, you know what? You can shoot that all day long, bro. Like, we're going to let you tee off because the effective field goal percentage on that, the expected points per shot on a three-point shot from him, even a wide-open three-point shot, is still way, way better than Jason Tatum single coverage or Jaylen Brown single coverage.
I mean, I hate to interrupt in an important time talking basketball, but I've gotten some more information on this whole Max Scherzer incident. It's now an international incident because the person who was shooed away is a Japanese ambassador.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
So,
what?
We go to war. Thank old Max.
he was being rude. You accused him of being a bleep hole.
I didn't accuse it. I said it. I didn't think my mic was on.
Stugatz, what did you want to ask? I mean,
I'm wondering if Middleton is healthy for that entire series. Are the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals?
I think so. I just think it looks different. It's one of those weird things where I'm not saying that Middleton doesn't make a difference. I just think that Boston ends up winning in a different way. And again, I go back to, man, a year ago, we were all in unison. Bud, in playoff situations, coaching, we're not so hot on. And, you know, Zach Harper has a great line about, like, Bud doesn't make adjustments. The four adjustments he made last year was making sure the best player on the other team got hurt. Right? Bam was hurt, and then Kyrie and James Harden got hurt. And then in the conference finals, Trae Young gets hurt. And then in the finals, Chris Paul and Devin Booker get hurt. That was his adjustments all the way through. And so, you know, we look at that game yesterday, and we're shocked. Oh, how could this happen? It's like, well, yeah, they didn't make one change. They just kept barreling headfirst with Giannis, who looked exhausted. Did he even get subbed out in the second half until the very end? So, I mean,
I was surprised by a handful of things yesterday. Nothing more so than the Suns, but Giannis being on the court without rest in the third quarter and Tatum sitting the last 8 minutes of the third quarter and the Celtics increasing their lead and Giannis looking exhausted. I'm like, that's right there where it ends. That's where he's not going to quit, but they broke him. They will break him there. He's too tired, and they can't expand their lead when Tatum's in foul trouble and sitting for 8 minutes in the third quarter.
And he's missing bunnies, by the way. I mean, like, that's the biggest red flag of all. This guy who's so amazing around the rim, all of a sudden he's missing these chippies. And to me, that's all. You see it. There were plays where, like, he wouldn't run back on defense. He kind of just, like, take that pause and then do a little jog because, hey, man, it's already up ahead. That's not Giannis. That's not the Giannis we know. And, again, it's not to say that, oh, had he run back, he could have made a play on that. It's to say very clearly he's not feeling himself like himself. So you need to find a way to kind of coast. And now you could say if Chris Middleton were there, could they have done that in those moments? But again, I look at their offense throughout that game. Like, I don't know if that Chris Middleton would have made a difference.
I want to ask you a question about the Dallas Mavericks defense, which has been a bit of a revelation. A lot better now that Porzingis is out of the way. I was surprised to learn their defensive rating was better than Phoenix's. And this might actually make for a better series against Golden State. Explain to me why.
Well, I mean, I think a better series for one reason and one reason only. It's Luka. That's why. And what we're seeing now is like what we all saw, or not we all shouldn't say it, we all saw, what those of us saw on draft day way back when. Is like these guys, these other guys are going to be great players. I think Trae Young is going to be a great player. I think DeAndre Ayton is going to be a great player. Like, there are all these guys in that draft are like, yo, the Jaren Jackson Jr., there's no shame in picking on any of those guys except for the fact, like, they're great. But that one over there is going to be special. And I think we saw that in this series, and we saw that last night when he scored as much as the entire Phoenix Suns team in the first half. That's not a great player. That is special. We had Bob Vulgaris, a noted former, you know, millionaire gambler. I mean, he's still a millionaire, just he doesn't gamble anymore. And then former, obviously, Dallas Mavericks front office executive. And, you know, he went to work for Dallas. He didn't have to, but he told Mark Cuban, if you guys take this guy, you know, Luka Doncic, I will come work for you full time. He believed that much. So on the podcast, he tells us, he asked me and Tom, he said, tell me why Luka's not going to end up the greatest player of the modern era. And we were like, well, you know, defensively, it was like, okay, beyond defense, offensively, tell me why he's not going to be better than everyone. Better than LeBron, better than Kobe, better than... And it's like, when you start to think about it, it's like, I really don't have that many answers. I don't think it's going to happen, but, like, that's just because I hold those guys in such high esteem. I'm like, it's so hard to climb that mountaintop. But what we saw last night is like, yeah, that's who this guy is going to be. That's who he's been all along since he was an 18-year-old winning MVP of the second toughest league in the world.
Do you have a different appraisal than mine when I say I think Dallas is the worst team remaining in these playoffs, but they have the best player?
They have the best player. I disagree. You know, I think Steph Curry is the best player. I think Steph Curry is the best player remaining in these playoffs. They're the worst team. I guess if I had to rank them 1 through 4, yes, they would be fourth, but That makes it seem like they're unworthy of being there. I think they are.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just, I don't think they're unworthy of being there. The second, man, this proved out, okay? I don't know what happened to Phoenix yesterday, but the second half of the season, Boston and Dallas were better than everyone else. They were just as good as Phoenix was at right. Phoenix's peak. And Miami was great all season, and Golden State's been great when they're healthy.
Right. By the way, two coaches there, Jason Kidd and Ime Udoka. A lot of people were saying, see, they're not good. We've got to fire them. Not so much now, right? Not so much. The people who thought Jason Kidd should never, ever coach again because 5 years ago or whatever, Milwaukee went from being bad under, you know, to being mediocre or slightly trending towards good under him. And then obviously Bud gets there and they take off. And so people thought that means Jason Kidd can't coach and should never coach again. And that's the thing we talk about all the time in this league, or at least I talk about, is the idea that, man, just like players get better, coaches get better. If a guy coaches a couple of years and then goes away and then becomes an assistant coach somewhere else, whatever, he learns things. He picks up things. And so to write people off based on what their coaching record was the first couple of years they did it in the league is kind of ridiculous.
Whose voice was that? Just voice of people saying? Like,
yeah, whose voice was that? Was it that? Sounded like the people that were talking to you. They sounded very nerdy.
Well, these people, it's the voice of Twitter. That's what Twitter sounds like.
What does Twitter sound like?
Why are they giving Jason Kidd another chance? Didn't we already figure this out in Milwaukee? Like, that's Twitter.
He's right. What do you make of, like, Doc Rivers, Philadelphia, Daryl Morey saying they're going to bring Doc back?
Oh, this is my favorite story of the playoffs so far, because we talked about this on Basketball Illuminati weeks and weeks ago. Mike D'Antoni is the heir apparent. Doc Rivers trying to angle towards Los Angeles. But here's the deal. If Morey fires Doc, he's got to pay him. And then even after, you know, if Doc gets that Laker job, he's got to pay the offset. There still is some math there, right? If Doc quits, he's not entitled to any of that money, and heaven forbid if he doesn't get the Laker job, and now you're just sitting around and you gave up on all that money. So they're both doing this weird, the producers thing, where it's like one guy wants to quit, but he's not going to do it because he's not going to give up the money. The other guy wants to fire him, but he's not going to do it because he doesn't want to pay out that money. And so they're both saying, I want to be here forever. Yeah, no, I'll do this for years and years. We're going to win championships together. No, I love you. I don't want to be with anyone else. We're going to go to bed together. Me and him sleeping in the same. Hey, me and Darren, we're going to sleep in the same bed. I love this guy.
Wait.
It's the only reason I asked the question.
Well, if you want Doc Rivers, I want to hear Doc Rivers now making moves on Daryl Morey in this bed. Since you're doing the hell yeah thing anyway.
Before I do that, I want to unveil my Daryl Morey impersonation based on solely an interview he did the other day, press availability, where he said, you know, Doc, Elton, and me, we make a great team. I think we're going to win a championship together, and nothing changed my mind about that. I want to be with this guy forever. I want to put a ring on it. Not a championship ring, mind you, but an engagement ring, because this is the person I want to stare into their eyes forever. Can you not tell all the passion and lust in my voice right now? Hey, Daryl! The feeling's mutual. I mean, I'm gonna put on some Barry White. Yeah, you know, really set the mood, get some candles, get some roses. Maybe put on mute, but I'll throw on James Harden's greatest hits, right, on YouTube. Let's do this forever.
Dan, the Scherzer situation's getting worse and worse by the minute.
Oh, my God.
Not only did he not let an ambassador to Japan throw out the first pitch, it was also Japanese Heritage Night.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
Scherzer, middle of a culture war.
150th anniversary of the United States' introduction to baseball to Japan.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Different culture war.
Oh, my God.
Scherzer.
When Scherzer has to pitch, though, Dan, he's got to pitch. I mean, that's the deal. It's his mound.
Time now for Stu Gatz's Stay Right There, Amin, Weekend Observations.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think. about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.
Don Levitard.
Ron Karkovice beat Caminiti in terms of rugged hand?
I think so.
What about Derek Bell?
We're talking Karkovice and Ken Caminiti. I don't think Derek Bell is in that conversation.
Hal Morris?
How about Mo Vaughn?
Mo Vaughn might be in the conversation.
Mo Vaughn's a good one, yeah. But he doesn't have rougher hands than Hal Morris. Yeah.
Did Sean Casey have rough hands?
You know what? Maybe.
Stugatz.
Good take. My good strong take on that. You know what? It's usually followed by an opinion.
The mayor. I feel like the mayor had soft hands. I do.
I do, too. I think baby soft hands. Baby soft hands. Gentle, caressing hands. Yeah, I believe that, too.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
You got to segue seamlessly from the other music.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes.
A lot going on today.
No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend observations brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories, available for delivery. Dan, this will be the fifth time they have played each other in the playoffs since 2010, and the third time in the conference finals. There is no love loss here, Dan. Intensity, emotion, so many memorable moments, including, of course, the game in 2012. And while Miami has won the last three matchups, they know this one is different. They know this time they are facing a player who is nearing the apex of his career, determined to show the world that he's the best basketball player in the world. They know they are facing Al Horford. And Dan, just like that, a rivalry is reborn, and the Heat and Celtics are back.
Yes.
It's different this time, though, Dan. Because Even though I think Al was there last time. I had no idea.
I think Al's been there most of the
time.
But
not this Al. This is Apex Al.
Apex Al?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stugatz, I'm a little disappointed you didn't say this time it's personal.
I'm sorry. It's been a long day.
He put the Al in Alpha. He is the leader of that team.
Stephen A. Smith, after the Sixers Game 6 loss, said something smells fishy. Dan, you know what the P in Philadelphia stands for?
Fishy.
Hey, look at you! Death, taxes, and Stephen A. launching an investigation. He loves to do that.
He does. It's always the verb, too. Launching. It's not just conducting an investigation. It's an investigation that must be put in some sort of surface-to-air vessel.
Also, I love that when Stephen A. is wrong, it's not him being wrong. It's something smells fishy. The goat is the best ever. He's taking everyone out today.
I was watching the ESPN pregame show prior to the ABC broadcast, and Greeny was setting everybody up for their predictions on what happens in Game 7. And every single person on the panel, Wilbon, Jalen, Stephen A. They're like, well, you know, entering this season, entering this series, I picked Boston. But then game five happened, and then I picked Milwaukee. But now that it's game seven, I think it's Boston.
It's so silly.
He's the goat.
It's just the predicting of games on television.
Everybody on that panel.
Still the thing.
Everybody on that panel had made three separate predictions regarding this series.
I'm proud of all of them.
There has to be a better way.
Nope. Clayton Kershaw has landed on the IL. One might say he's rounding into postseason form. The IL.
Well, really glad that they took him out of that no-hitter to save his arm.
To avoid the IL.
Amazing. Yeah.
Who could have seen this coming?
Yep. The IL, otherwise known as Kershaw's home away from home. Dan, you know what the T in Jason Tatum stands for?
I do not.
It stands for testicles. Disagree, I dare you.
You've been very phallic today.
I have been. Too phallic for my life.
Jimmy Phallic.
Ayo. Headline. Deserved a better fate.
What?
Headline. San Diego Padres signed Robinson Cano to spark offense. Hey, Padres, Robinson Cano hasn't sparked an offense since 2016. The Pods. Five game sevens in the first round. Hockey playoffs. Best thing in sports.
Just bat shit. It's just
fine.
It's just bat shit crazy. Everything in overtime. Everything decided by a goal. It's nuts.
Playoff hockey is exhausting.
It's the first round. It's the first round. And I just feel like what we should do is just have one guy from one team and another guy from another team just throw the hockey puck at each other's face until somebody is done and gets to advance.
2 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 4 blocks, otherwise known as Al Horford.
You are the nation's leader in Al Horford coverage.
I mean, he won the series for him. The Al Horford game will go down as one of the all-time games in Boston sports history.
What about the Grant Williams game?
That will go down as well, but not ahead of the Al Horford game. You don't get to the Grant Williams game without the Al Horford game. You know what I'm saying?
I want to beat these guys so bad.
I know. I mean, I don't care.
I want every single person to forget the Al Horford game and the Grant Williams game.
They never will.
Because they will if they get eliminated.
Yeah.
They will.
Scott, this is the thing. You mentioned this the other day. You mentioned that moments are not allowed to be moments that stand alone, where Tatum's buzzer beater at the rim against Kyrie Irving in game one is not allowed to resonate unless they win the title. That it becomes forgotten.
Yes.
Or more forgotten if they do not continue to win. They need to, Grant Williams and Al Horford, to keep the memory alive of Jason Tatum winning game one in round one.
You know a game I also want to get out of the way? Jaylen Brown starting the game with 12 straight points and not scoring again to the third quarter. Can we just get that game out of the way too?
There you go.
Didn't we do it yesterday? I thought that we did it yesterday.
Not a decent
no
game
one
yesterday.
Has done that more in my life than Jaylen Brown, and I believe he's 25.
Tim Thomas used to do that.
Oh, all the time.
He'd score like You're 8 right. points in yes. the first quarter
yes.
and then finish with 12 for the game.
I've never said this player is on pace for 200 points more than Jaylen Brown.
Maybe Tim Thomas, though.
And then like a quarter and a half goes by.
I thought Toronto still played in the Maple Leaf Gardens. They haven't played a hockey game there since 1999. The Church of Hockey, the Carlton Street Cash Box. What a great name. It's such a great name.
The original Maple Leaf Gardens, I believe, is a mall now.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
But now it's the Lightning that share the stadium with the Raptors.
That's right. The Panthers should nickname their arena the Bandwagon. I'm sure football has nothing to do with what's going on with Earl Thomas.
It's impossible not to think that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's Earl Thomas, I don't know if people have been following the details on this, but he announces that he's going to try to return to football, and then for 2 weeks, there's an outstanding warrant for his arrest. After the last time we saw him, right, he was getting into a fight with his wife about some sort of menage a trois situation, allegedly.
Why have I not heard of a quarterback named General Booty until Saturday night? And why did it take a quarterback named General Booty so long to get to a school like Oklahoma? On name alone, I take General Booty to start for the Jets right now. What did you? I mean, General Booty?
There's not a name in sports that sounds more like a porn.
General Booty reports duty, sir, Mr. President. I'm assured by General Booty that the troops are going to come home.
You know, Mitch McConnell doesn't want that.
Mitch McConnell wants General Booty out on the front line.
Dallas Keuchel is a White Sox.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, you didn't know that,
huh? He has been for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's also this huge hoss that plays for Milwaukee, and his first name is Rowdy.
Wow.
You got to see this guy.
Get out of here.
Rowdy Tellez.
Get out of here.
Billy, are you familiar with this Rowdy guy?
Yeah.
He's Bruce. He's one of the league leaders in home runs.
Yeah.
This guy is my guy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
The Brew Crew.
Big giant hacks. He just
big giant Matt Stairs like porn hacks, a little chubby. Look at his face, round. I thought you were playing for the Brewers at one point, but no, it was Rowdy. He's 255. He's 6'4, 255.
What's he batting?
Oh, for average?
Yeah.
Probably 87.
Joey Gallo.
Wow, 248, not bad by today's standards. He might be an MLB All-Star. Rowdy Tellez.
Bruins and Hurricanes, the rare series that never started.
How about that? Sad.
Dan, have you caught postseason passion?
I have not.
You haven't caught hockey postseason passion yet?
No, I have not.
What?
What is the Sunshine Skate going to be the one that gets it out of you? World War II?
Mm-hmm. I say that again. You want to say
World
it again?
World War II.
It's a fine.
Why is that a fine?
It's war.
No, it's rawr.
Oh, okay. Oh, no. Yeah, it's a fine for me for not getting the joke, actually.
Two. It's much better than Dan Sunshine too. Skate.
Why is it a fine for me?
You didn't catch it.
What didn't I catch?
No, he caught
the fever. The fever.
Oh, yeah. It's a fine for not catching hockey fever.
Not catching
$35.
Dan, on Saturday night, I watched Jonathan Quick block a puck with his penis. How are you not watching this?
Dick save in a butte.
Jonathan Dick.
I have to stop saying Dick. Where was I?
Dick.
Oh. Dick saving a beaut, huh? Where was I, though, for real? Unlike Celtics Bucks, which just started four times. That's where I was.
Yeah.
Got away from me.
Yeah.
Jonathan Dick.
I know.
Dick saving a beaut.
Mm-hmm.
Something else happened there. Roar.
World Rawr 2.
R-A-W-R.
I hate these guys. I hate all of them. Vasilevsky. I'm already resigned to the fact that we're not going to win back-to-back games in this series, so got to win the first one.
You have to.
Because there's no beating Vasilevsky off a loss.
You're right.
You have to win game one.
Who do you hate more, the Lightning or the Celtics?
Celtics, because that goes back years. I think my least favorite team of all time, and it took a lot to pass those Pistons teams that Dwayne Wade ran into, but my least favorite team of all time was the Big Four, I guess, Celtics team with Rondo, the one that scared the bejesus out of me. I couldn't keep food down for a week entering that game six, just shitting soup.
But you've had your way with the Celtics.
Yeah.
Tampa's had the best of
only,
us.
I think I've only witnessed one postseason series in my adult life, certainly, where the Celtics came out on top, and they've played each other a bunch in the postseason. I hate Tampa more than any other hockey team, but this goes back decades, really, with the Boston Celtics.
The nation's new capital is Sunrise, Florida. DC, how's it feel to lose to a city where White House refers to most of our houses?
I was annoying DC fans so much just because of my general presence, but also anytime that there was icing, I was like, what happens now? Just really leaning into just, why was that? What? What, it's offside? Huh? I'm just having fun. What? Where's everybody going? I love hockey.
DC, how does it feel to lose to a city who also prints money, except ours isn't real? The only person at TD Garden who looked like he was on more cocaine than Dana White was Brook Lopez.
He was blocking everything.
Crazy.
He's swooping in from the heavens. Crazed.
I honestly caught COVID looking at Dana White on TV. I have never seen someone looking more uncomfortable in a 3-second TV cameo than I saw red-faced Dana White coughing and just, he looked so uncomfortable in his own skin. He was like wearing Dana White.
Since I told Jason Tatum to stop shooting threes, he went 12 of 24 from three. You're welcome. Stupid take. Oh, no.
You're afraid of the spelling of something in your weekend observations?
Or you're saying dick again.
I don't know what I'm doing here. This whole it's the most intimidating sentence I've ever seen. Incredible goal from Wataru Endo to keep VFB Stuttgart in the Bundesliga. You know what the S in Stuttgart stands for?
I don't.
Scenes.
It's Stuttgart.
Whatever. I mean, the kind of day I've had today, you had to squeeze that one in there. It was that important. You had to. That's okay. Yep. I understand why you did it.
What do you mean? They're your observations.
You're right. The Cincinnati Reds gave up no hits and lost a baseball game. I feel like I should give them a standing ovation. It's so impressive.
It is.
It is.
It is.
I'm too tired, Dan. You want to give them a standing O? Or what do you think?
No.
Okay.
That's okay.
Of course, Steph Curry graduated college over the weekend. He's perfect. Steph needs a mishap in his career. He's never going to go down as one of the all-time greats until he has a little bit of controversy. I'm not talking like do something illegal. Like LeBron had it when he left Cleveland, went to Miami. You need something because his career is too perfect.
Stugatz, I'm surprised you're not jumping on the obvious, which is Steph Curry left Davidson as a junior in 2009. So he had 1 year left. It took him 13 years, including during a pandemic.
Yeah.
To finish 1 year of college credits?
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break.
I mean, it's been busy, so he didn't forget about it. He went back and
doing
got
what?
It done.
Busy doing what? Being hurt?
And he did it during the postseason. I mean, it's a pretty good job by Steph.
Do it in the postseason.
He did it.
Graduate in the postseason.
He's gonna win and graduate. And I mean, this guy's
finals.
Perfect.
Do it in the finals.
Just a little something. Traffic violation. Anything. I mean,
graduate degree. Go get a graduate degree. Then talk to me.
Yeah.
Get a PhD.
Peyton Pritchard, congratulations. What a town to be the scrappy little white guy. Dan, you know where the buck stops?
Boston.
Hey, good, Dan.
At the feet of a coughing Dana White. So many whites are coming to Miami, man. Dana White, Derek White, all the whites are coming.
Plus the white that's here.
All of them, right.
Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Boston must love him so much.
Top five scrappy white athletes in Boston history. The pool is so deep, Dan.
It is.
I had to leave out Butch Hobson, Doug Flutie, plus, I had to combine two guys into one.
Doug Flutie doesn't make the list.
He did not make the list. BC, he did not make the list. Number five, Jason Veritek. Got to be there. Number four, Terry O'Reilly. O'Reilly wasn't great at anything. He was good at a bunch of stuff. And Boston loved him. Scrappy. 5-minute majors if you needed one. Send a message. Big goal if you needed one. Big assist. Oh, I love a hockey assist. Number three, Julian Welker.
Yeah. Yeah, that is good. You should combine them two. Julian Welker Amendola.
I didn't think of him. See, the pool is so deep.
Yeah, it is a deep pool.
Number two, Dustin Pedroia. And number one, and he'll always be number one, Danny Ainge. Here come the halos. City of Miami, especially Live Nightclub. Do what you have to do tonight. Thanks. Make sure Tatum's there. There are very few guys in the NBA who are locks to resist the temptation of South Beach. Al Horford is one of those guys.
Al Horford will not be tempted.
He'll be sleeping by nine, Dan.
You're hoping for Liv to rise up and grab Grant Williams tonight?
All of them. Except Al. He won't do
it. Al won't be there.
No. He'll be trying to tell Tatum and Jaylen Brown, hey, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Then Al will go to sleep because he goes to sleep by nine, okay? Especially on game night, and those guys will sneak out past Al. That's how it works. You'll see. Giannis was the first ever to have 200 points, 100 rebounds, and 50 assists in a playoff series, and he lost. What the hell? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations.
Billy, any more Scherzer updates? Any more information for us? We'll get to funniest thing from the sports weekend in the post-game show, but I need the international incident involving Max Scherzer updated as often and as much as possible. And guys, we've got an update in the broadcasting movements and wars. Drew Brees is out at NBC. Drew Brees, and we were talking, a lot of people last week thought I was hating on Tom Brady's contract when I don't get jealous of anybody else's money, but a whole lot of people on social media were calling me jelly. Somebody was jelly ASF. I was jelly ASF. And my only point, it doesn't mean to hate on him. I thought I was saying something that was matter of fact. He's not someone in front of microphones who has been interesting, and he doesn't have any experience in that job, and you gave him $375 million, and Exhibit A, Drew Brees. Drew Brees, that was actually more interesting in a microphone during his career than Tom Brady was. Drew Brees comes in with plenty of credentials, and after a year now, he says he's weighing all his options. He might go football. He's trying to put the spin on this that they're not letting him go because he failed.
He did update it saying the football stuff, he was just joking around. The other stuff he is serious about.
Damn, I had him in the XFL. it worked one time with Tony Romo, where we didn't know what to expect. Is this guy going to be good at this? How is he getting the number one spot? And since then, Witten happened, and now Drew Brees. And Drew Brees, I think everybody kind of thought was going to work, and it flatly didn't. It's actually amazing to me how quickly networks can get out from under these contracts. And it does apply some concern to the Tom Brady thing, because he just set the market, and we don't really know how that's going
to
go.
But I wasn't actually intending to apply concern. I was just awed by it. I'm awed by the idea that someone can make that money with no experience in a job and with no proof that he can do it well. I'm not used to seeing that. Never mind in the meritocracy of sports, anywhere in business. I'm not used to seeing, hey, you've got no experience. Here's $375 million to do something. Maybe you're good at it. Maybe you're not. I don't know. But Drew Brees just failed. Just failed and now is going to spin it because Drew Brees has done damage to whatever it is that Drew Brees, legacy quarterback.
Yeah.
Drew Brees was going to be one of the guys who brought in the next 10 years of football as a bridge because they want all their Mannings on television, all the Bradys on television. They want all these guys bridging to the future. Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, whatever it is that's coming in the future at the position, they want these guys as the bridge. And Drew Brees just failed. And I didn't think it could happen that fast. And I didn't think it would be that hard, and I didn't think he would fail because it's not that hard a job. It really isn't. Drew Brees.
Well, there's not many people who are good at it. I would say it's a very difficult job.
It is a hard job. You've slandered it by calling it a part-time job, and I can follow you there. But being good on television is not an easy thing to do. We've seen so many all-time greats really struggle at it.
Drew Brees was not supposed to be one of them, and when I say it's not that hard of a job, I don't know the windows that he was working in at NBC, but his job wasn't even the Romo job. Like, his job
was... He was a studio animal.
Was, no, he did right. both.
He but, did, well, I think he wanted that to be his job, and I think NBC decided after a year of him doing Notre Dame and the one playoff game which got some poor media criticism that they weren't ready to put him in the Sunday Night Football booth. They extended Chris Collinsworth and gave him what seems now like a budget deal at $11 million a year for Chris Collinsworth. But NBC decided...
Who's better than all of them, by the way.
Well, NBC decided we want to keep Collinsworth. Amazon decided to go with Herb Street. Fox decided to go with Tom Brady and maybe Greg Olson. So the musical chairs are kind of running out. And so Drew Brees might have to go be like a number two somewhere and get better at this. Like Amin said earlier, you can get better at being an analyst. Like Troy Aikman, I think, has gotten considerably better in like year 20 and 21 of being an analyst. His last couple seasons have been much better, in my opinion, than what preceded it. So,
oh no, he's here.
He can
he's
get
here
better
to,
at it.
He is here, whether it's abs or elsewhere. Aikman's here to compete. He is here to get better at those things.
He's being pushed now.
He specifically wanted more than Romo, and then Brady doubled him.
I do see that Drew Brees has a ceiling, though, that he hasn't come close to meeting. And you do want someone that's played in a modern age offense to be able to talk about where the position is now and where it's headed. To give up and punt on him in a year where I actually think, because Tirico worked next to him on those Notre Dame games, it might have been a good spot and refreshing to see a three-man booth when everyone else is going two-man. But they just decided not for us.
I just want to place in front of all of you how much more of a winner Tom Brady is at all things than even the winners. Brees, you're gone in a year. Brady, you haven't done it. Here's 10 years guaranteed. Here's 10 years guaranteed for more money than anyone. That's Drew Brees, Stugatz. He's got more touchdowns than anyone ever. Does he not? Does he not hold some of those records of those records that are the ones that Tom Brady doesn't own?
I mean, yeah, he was a good quarterback, but I mean, that doesn't translate into Mike's point. I think it's a difficult job. You've seen Jerry Rice try to do some of it. You've seen Emmitt Smith try to do some of it. You've seen Jason Witten. It's not an easy job. It really. What makes Tony Romo so great is that somehow, and I still don't know how he does it, because he played quarterback his entire life, how he sits in a booth with Jim Nance and presents the game the way me and my friends are discussing it in my house. It's insane how good he is at it.
And even Dan laid the sword down once he realized, yeah, you're right. Tom Brady's allowed to set the watermark for someone
but
that we
only,
don't know if they're good at this.
But I can only be awed
right.
by it, because look at what just happened to Drew Brees. Like, yeah. Drew Brees was supposed to be polished. Drew Brees was preparing for this moment. Drew Brees is very interested in what his legacy is going to be like after football. Drew Brees is very competitive. Drew Brees just took a hit where he's putting out there, hey, I can go back to NBC in what capacity?
Does coach in waiting or broadcaster in waiting ever work? They crowned Drew Brees color commentator in waiting, and it just doesn't end up working for these folks. Brady, though, truly, I think will shine. He is more interesting now than he's not in New England. I think he'll be good, and I'm not just saying that because he tweeted at me over the weekend.
Jalen Rose was broadcaster in waiting. That worked. Draymond Green, I think we're all watching it real time.
That's a great one. Well, yeah, Jalen... Yeah, Jalen worked. I was going to say but it worked.
He's got a 15-year
Yeah, he's had a very long career.
He's been on like 10 different iterations of the ESPN NBA studio show.
Yes.
So
yeah,
he's a constant, by the way.
Great agent.
If you look at
the one constant throughout time is Jalen Rose.
The constant.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.